Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the IndoWind Energy Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Ms. Sakshi Panjwani from Kirin Advisors Private Limited for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Sakshi.
A very good morning to one and all. Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of IndoWind Energy Limited. From the management team, we have Mr. Bala Venkatakutty, promoter of IndoWind Energy. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Bala for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sakshi. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. On behalf of IndoWind Energy, I extend a warm welcome to all investors, analysts, and all participants attending this call. We truly appreciate your time and continued support. The first half of FY 2026 has been encouraging and reflects the steady progress we are making in building a stronger and more efficient renewable energy business. At IndoWind, we remain committed to generating reliable green power and strengthening operational performance through disciplined execution and improved asset uptime. With more than 30 years of experience in the wind energy sector, our focus continues to be long-term value creation through better performance across our operating portfolio and adding new portfolios. Across India, we are seeing continued momentum in renewable energy adoption. There is increasing demand from corporates for stable and clean power, which supports our strategy and growth roadmap. Our operating model, centered around strong O&M practices and consistent monitoring of assets, is helping us improve availability, machine availability, and efficiency. The results we are presenting today reflect the progress of these efforts and the strengthening of our position in the sector. Now, let me just walk you through our financial performance. For Q2 FY 2026, our consolidated revenue stood at rupees 17.74 crore compared to rupees 15.92 crore in Q2 FY 2025, reflecting a growth of 11.46%. EBITDA for the quarter increased to rupees 10.53 crore from 9.11 crore last year, a growth of 15.58%. EBITDA margins improved to 59.32% compared to 57.21% last year. Net profit for the quarter was rupees 4.57 crore, an increase of 3.62% year-on-year. For the first half of FY 2026, revenue grew to 25.81% year-on-year to rupees 29.29 crore, and EBITDA increased 30.88% to rupees 15.73 crore compared to rupees 12.202 crore in H1 FY 2025. Net profit for the first half of FY 2026 stood at rupees 7.15 crore, an improvement of 17.16% year-on-year. These improvements were supported by better machine availability, disciplined cost control, and favorable wind conditions. Looking ahead, we believe that IndoWind is positioned well for continued growth. The industry environment remains constructive and supportive for renewable energy expansion. With our long operating history, hands-on O&M expertise, and focus on asset performance, we are confident of maintaining momentum in the coming quarters. Our mission remains unchanged. We aim to deliver reliable green power through efficient operations and to continue strengthening the business in a responsible and sustainable manner. To this end, we are moving ahead to complete a 4-MW solar project through a rights issue, and we continue to evaluate organic, inorganic, and hybrid expansion opportunities, supported by internal accrual as well as potential new equity and bond issuances. These initiatives are designed to increase capacity, enhance revenue, and improve profitability. I would like to take this opportunity to thank our shareholders, customers, lenders, and our dedicated employees for their trust and support. We look forward to sharing our progress with you as we move ahead. Thank you once again for joining us today. We are now happy to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the first question from the line of Prashant Shah from eStock Mantra. Please go ahead. Prashant, please unmute from your end and proceed with your question. Since there is no response, we will move on to the next question, which is from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, firstly, I'm new to this company, so I just have a few questions on what sort of capacity do we have under our management, like, and also are we adding any more for this best half of the fiscal year and also for the next fiscal year?
So we have around 54 megawatt wind farms which are already operating. And we are planning to add this future some solar projects now, because solar is also equally become more important now to balance the generation around the year as well as for supplying the client requirements of power continuously. So maybe we are looking at about adding at least 50 to 100 megawatt in the next few years, depending on, you know, funding availability and whatever support from the government.
And do we also do the EPC work, or we are just managing the projects?
We do like a projects, but we don't do like a regular manufacturer EPC. But we do like we just build a whole project, and then we look for sometimes, you know, investor buyers or the people who need industry who will buy it, and then we will only be holding it with the long term arrangement wherein we'll take back them after 10 years or 15 years like that. So it's basically we sell it, but for them, but then for a period, agreed period for agreed returns.
And the O&M, so all the projects we have under ourselves, we also have the O&M for, but are we doing third-party O&M for projects that are not under us?
Okay, we do majority of the O&M ourselves, but when we go for a new technology or the number of machines in a particular capacity group is very less, then we leave it to the third-party O&M companies, because there is a size required for every group of machines.
Mm-hmm.
But in future, we are planning to add, when we go for the more expensive similar machines, we'll be creating a group for handling that O&M also in-house.
Okay, so currently our O&M is, what capacity is under us, the O&M?
Out of the 54 megawatt, 18 is only out, 18 plus 1.1 machine is about 19 megawatt is outsourced, and remaining we are doing ourselves.
And are we doing third-party O&M for some other assets, like not for us, but some for the capacities that other own?
We are planning to start a separate vertical for it to take the O&M for others also. But as of now, no. but going forward, we'll be doing it.
And these solar projects, so these will be hybrid projects, solar, wind, and also BESS, or will they just be the solar projects?
The solar project today, what we are adding in this rights issue through the rights issue is in Hanam Sagar location in Karnataka. We have some windmills there, same location, but this is an independent project with an independent arrangement for a third party or a group captive arrangement there for a private sale. But we are looking in Tamil Nadu, there is a policy wherein it says the hybrid policies are now already announced, or at least in the full 90% clear. Even the Tamil Nadu government, Tamil Nadu Green Energy Corporation also has announced an auction for a adding hybrid solar project to their existing windmill. So we'll be looking more in hybrid into Tamil Nadu to start with.
Okay. And this Karnataka project is of what size?
This solar project we are starting is 4 MW, but then we have many wind capacities and lands are there in Karnataka too. So in future, we'll be looking at more solar, that they go hand in hand with the wind now.
Okay. And what is the amount of funds that we are raising from the rights issue?
This rights issue is for 49.5 crore level.
Okay.
And promoters, we are taking almost like our entire quota. Maybe we'll be taking little more also, but then we may not get going by the past history, because generally our shareholders have picked up everything. But we'll be happy to take little more.
And so we had a great increase in our EBITDA margins, close to 50% now, 59 from 32. Do you see this kind of maintaining? Because as we enter solar, do these margins go down because wind has better margins on the management side? Is that the same?
No, no. This increase, what has happened now is, as we explained in the statement, it is last year we had some capacity and then some improvements in efficiency and good wind. Sometimes, like some years out of 5 years, maybe 1 year, we suddenly see a low wind, but then we got a better solar radiation. Since the land is all in villages, so the solar capacity is going to complement in a big way. The solar project costs are relatively less comparing to the wind capacity cost. So in terms of ROI, actually they are all more or less same, but in fact solar could be little better if radiation things are slightly better and easy to handle, the solar ones.
Any sort of guidance that you can give for this fiscal and also for next year with solar coming in our books as well?
Any solar project of this size, 4 MW, that is purely going to add the top line and the bottom lines. So the machine, whatever windmill also, what we are doing, trying internal accruals, we are trying to use a bit for improving efficiency. So we can expect a growth, which is definitely be better than industry growth rate in terms of power production.
Okay. And this 4 MW is coming online, what time? By the end of this fiscal or maybe second half of next year?
Yeah, we are depending on when the rights issue is over by December, we hope. I mean, allotment, everything by December, money will come to the hand, in the hands. So probably 3 to 4 months is what we are targeting. So generally 6 months is the, what we have shown in the offer document.
Okay. So by the end of this fiscal, we can expect the solar project to be.
Yeah. Next year, the benefit of this will come in the next year.
Okay.
In from the, yes. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so it will come from the next financial year. Maybe Q1 itself will have some improvement.
Okay. Yeah, that is it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nishita Singh from Urban Sphere Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Is Indovinya considering strategic partnerships or JV opportunities to scale faster?
Yes, we are open for that because we have a lot of land banks in our kitty now. We are a debt-free company as on date. There are options for either go for borrowing and grow, or we can go with the JVs and, industries. Some of them want to co-own these assets. There are investors that are also coming and saying that you build it, we'll do jointly own it. First goal is to utilize our existing substations, the grid, whatever we have, because the existing wind farms are giving only around 14% efficiency. Here now the new policies have come wherein it says that if you can improve your production by minimum 25%, then you can go for a hybrid projects. We will look for open for all strategic partnerships or anyway.
Okay.
As long as we keep a comfortable cash flows from the projects and for the shareholders' benefit.
Okay. Okay, so what internal operational or digital initiatives are being taken to enhance asset monitoring or predictability?
Okay. So right now, majority of the machines, whatever they are having this SIM cards into the machines itself. But we have already been doing something. We are also looking for a more digitization in line with the now more network capacities are growing to all the villages. So we are looking at some of the lands. We are also looking at opportunities like data center, if somebody can come for a joint venture, since you asked me about it. Since we are producing power anyway. So every village also now the data consumption in India is growing like a big way. Apart from agriculture and then data center also kind of opportunities. So that will anyway give us more digitization push. Looking for an options, if we get a trading license, probably power trading sector is also growing. So if we get it, probably we'll go for a we will look for opportunities to talk on a more digitization routes. And also mobile platforms for interacting with the, not only internally, even with our customers like that going forward.
Okay. Your historical track record has been seen as inconsistent. What governance process or management changes have been implemented to build reliability?
No, it is very the historically. It is dependent on the wind. It is a third party. So in Tamil Nadu, for example, okay, 2 years there was a corona, which we cannot blame anybody. But if you see for the last 30 years, the first 5 years, Indovinya performance was the top in the industry. Like as the capacity grew, the state's grid capacities were not grown by the state in accordance. So they were not able to provide a continuous power offtake for this. So a lot of cases happened in the court. It went up to Supreme Court. Then the Honorable Court said that, a must-run status has been given to the renewable sector. After that, if you see, it has been continuously growing, not only probably to us as well as for the whole industry now. And so these are the reasons for ups and downs, plus the nature. Some years, wind does less. So when we were doing a project business, till the time the depreciation benefit tax, sales tax benefits were there for the last 20 years of the industry. So we were doing projects as a sale also. But then when that whole thing changed, reverse bidding started and all the benefits were withdrawn. Now we have to work on standalone, viability and competing on the quality and the energy generation aspects. Plus the power prices were down, as you all know. But now 2 years back, the regulators have put their foot down and then said that every year there is going to be a 6% increase in the power tariff also, which is all giving for kind of a positivity. So we started looking at expansion.
Okay. Okay. So that's all from my side. Good to hear. Looking forward to keep an eye on the company. Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Vinod Shah from VS Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yeah. So I have like a couple of questions. So like within next quarter, are you expecting a better wind condition that would result in better power generation?
On a year-on-year basis, we are expecting better only because the capacities are getting added and some of the, as I said it to the previous question, during the Corona period and when we had a loan, the priority was keeping the loans in order. But now we don't have zero loan, so our entire internal accruals is available for improving the efficiencies and, you know, whatever is missing out and doing an hybrid project wherever possible. So that is the target. It goes with the bad wind seasons and solar radiation now in going forward. So far we were only on wind. So to balance that, now we are looking at solar also.
Mm-hmm. So do you see
year on year basis will be better? Yes.
Yeah. So do you see any volatility impacting the performance, like going forward beyond the quarters?
Volatility in what way? Because wind is nature, sun is nature. We don't, machine availabilities, we always keep it properly. And we don't have any finance issues like many companies face today in India. Mm-hmm. So I don't see any volatility concerns. Maybe if you are talking stock market angle, I don't know. But as far as from the operations angle, things are going smoothly.
Okay, I was talking about operations. So, okay.
And yeah.
With the improved, like, our O&M efficiency, so what kind of incremental revenue per megawatt are we targeting?
This is, you know, like a three ways. One is the total capacity. Maybe in the existing 54 capacity, we are trying to improve some of the machine which can be upgraded, maybe 5 to 10%. And then we are looking at solar, which is anyway, therefore, you know, it will become a 10% of our portfolio very soon. So that's one. And then hybrids are, we have a potential internally to add about 25 megawatt of hybrid without paying, without spending more for the transmission lines, you know, along with our existing wind farms. But that requires a separate planning and funding. So definitely we can assure you growth will be there.
Okay.
And my target also is to get a profitability improved more than, you know, looking at borrowing or anything. So we are more focused now on bringing all the machines to their best efficiency.
Okay, that's great, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, yeah.
We take the next question from the line of Riya Shah from Orient Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, I'm audible.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I have a few questions. Given the growing interest from corporates in clean power, how is Indovind positioned to capture this demand faster than before?
Okay, so good question. There is definitely a huge shift from corporates also willing to go for a green power now. And power trading, energy exchanges, and third-party sale policies are helping in a big way. And our own customers, existing customers are also growing and demanding more power. So that is the reason we are also now looking at expanding our capacities in solar to start with 4 megawatt. But then our idea is to eventually to add another 50 megawatt so that we can meet the requirement of power from the existing customers as well as the new ones which are been, you know, we have been talking to and they have been also very keen.
What is your strategy for improving investor confidence and building a stronger public market perception?
I think now that we are almost like more than 15 years are there from the whatever listed space, and then yes, some of the investor, we one cycle we saw with the Corona time and all, it's going down. Though there is a book value of the company is very stay positive all the time. We never incurred any loss. Continuously, there has been an income increase. So, I don't know why should investor be worried. Even if the, I should not say, even if you sell the company as a going concern, the values are going to be much more price we should get than what we see in the market today.
Okay. Also, one last question. Can you share clarity on project pipeline visibility over the next 18 to 24 months?
Yes. At least for the one the right till the right is over, anyway, 4 megawatt we have to complete solar. Then we are looking at talking to a few banks, subject to approvals, and then bond issue also we are looking at options. If, definitely our net worth is already about 300 crore level. So we have not borrowed any money. So as per the RBI guidelines, we have a balance sheet net worth easily which can support borrowing up to maybe 800, 900 crores also. So adding 100 megawatt, 150 megawatt is very much in the possibility range. And big institutions are also asking a bigger ticket. You know, government is also asking big ticket sizes projects. We are evaluating it. So enjoying this debt-free status for what some time. Maybe we want to see the investor, profitability and the earning per share growth to be established now. Without affecting that EPS growth, we want to look at borrowings because we don't want borrower bankers to take away everything. So we are looking at proper lenders with the long-term, cash tenors, etc., to go with the industry expansion needs. So accordingly, we will play. As you are aware, if you are able to have when the projects are giving almost 15% plus project IRR and bankers only charge 8-9%. So you can imagine what kind of profitability can be added to the company if it can go forward.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dhanraj Tolani from Kuber Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, Dhanraj.
Hello.
Please
yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I have a couple of questions. I'll just start with the first one. So I just wanted to know, company has been operating since 1995, but the revenue and the capacity addition has remained limited as of yet. And even what are the key reasons for slow growth historically, and now what is changing now to accelerate our performance?
Okay, as I explained some time back about one of your questionings, the industry was new in 1995. We were the first company came in as an independent IPP in a renewable energy space, and the industry was having lot of government support like tax benefit, sale tax benefit, etc. So it was a phase where IPPs were not on their own viability was a challenging thing. Unless we use the government, whatever benefits were available. But over the period of time, if you can see now last 7 years or before, it so changed, the space has changed. Now it is no more a, government is not giving even any one rupee support for this now. We have grown, we have become like an 18 plus year boys. The industry, adults, so we have to now, they're given a full freedom to grow. So accordingly, the policies, the numbers, the, viability angles, everything underwent a change. And even the manufacturers, they're focusing on improving the efficiency because they can't sell the machine anymore by saying you get subsidy and all that stuff. So today is the conducive time for the last 5-6 years. For the time when now the phase has started for IPPs to grow as an independent vertical in a bigger way. Of course, there are some companies have grown because of the bigger foreign capital support. But we have grown totally with the internal Indian money and capitals, whatever we have raised. So today, we don't have debt also, as I explained last time. So yes, there was an options available to grow little aggressively faster with the bank loans. But if you can see it, most of the people who borrowed a bank loan for an IPP business in renewables, they have suffered a lot. They could not get their things, whatever requirements of the returns. Now we have learned fully. The whole space is now kind of clean. So we have an advantage in the wind. So we can grow faster future.
Okay. And if that take the like capacity commitment and the counter bill, like so what are the company expansion pipeline in terms of new MW additions or what capacity do we realistically expect to commission in the whole financial year of 2026 and 2027?
See, in financial year 2025-26, definitely 4 megawatt solar we are planning. But the next year, we are talking, like this capacity addition in solar, maybe with our own money, we'll be able to do at least 15% growth. But bankers are also talking now. So we can, capacity-wise also, we can grow a little bigger. But our 3-year short-term and medium-term target is at least to double this capacity as quick as possible.
Okay. Great. So we can say we are net debt free.
Pardon me?
Can we say like we are like net debt free?
We lend them?
Like we have a minimized like minimum debt in our books.
Minimum debt. Yeah, we don't have any debts.
Debt-free company.
We are a debt-free company. That is the whole advantage now. So bankers are chasing us because 300 crore, they are willing to give 500 crore, 700 crore. And we are looking at, there are many still companies, inorganic growth opportunities are coming on the way. So we are looking at both the ways to improve the profitability is the main goal now. I mean, not only profitability, the total absolute profits now.
Okay.
As you see, GST also came 3 years back. That also, we absorbed all kinds of shocks now, withdrawal of subsidies. There is no power price also there, it got reduced. Then GST was added to our entire expenditure, power being a final industry where we cannot pass through the GST to others. That means indirectly, company absorbed that 18% GST impact also. So our real growth is more, but then this government, whatever taking GST, etc., has affect, kind of strained the margin. I mean, the profits are there, but it's not going to go to a level where we wanted to achieve. But then now that is also been gone away, and then we are looking at strategies for making business plan changes accordingly to take advantage of even the whatever we are planning now.
Okay, sir. Great, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Okay, thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Mohit Kumar, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Mohit Kumar.
Mohit, please unmute your line and proceed with your question.
Hello. Yeah.
Yes, please.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. So, sir, my question is, can you share progress on corporate PPA demand, and have you signed any new contracts or are there any negotiations going on?
Okay, so the corporate demand is now definitely, as we can see, as the national data is grown. And today morning also I saw a newspaper cutting, the world demand itself from the is grown about 30% to be utilized from the renewable energy space comparing to the conventional ones. And for our company specifically, we have existing customers itself is asking. Today we are only giving about Tamil Nadu around 6 crore, you know, units of power to customers. They themselves are asking almost like 50% more. So we are under pressure to deliver more, produce more units. So we are looking at the options for that. So adding a project, sorry, as I said, acquiring the IBC, still there are some lot of stress assets in the system. So giving us an opportunity for a acquisition. So that when we acquire wind farms near to our existing locations, we could, you know, in terms of O&M cost advantage, all that is coming, plus the shared, you know, to transmission line. So we are looking at the options to basically both inorganic and organic growth to meet this existing customer demand itself, apart from the new ones.
Okay, okay.
Hope that answers you.
Yes, sir. Sir, what is your pricing strategy for third-party power sales in competitive market?
Yes, we have to go with the line in the market. Karnataka, we have faced this situation. And still, the market has now stabilized. All the manufacturers, all the power producers are now are in a level where they just can't go further down. And the demand is, anyway, there are a number of customers. Then the entry of new players have now come, kind of stabilized. Suddenly, many new players have jumped in. And they were not knowing. So all that is now more or less kind of an come to an environment where we see an orderly space now. And since the corporate consumption from renewable is going up, I think beyond a point, nobody wants to make a loss to sell power, though there is a competition. So the price of net price of around 5 rupees per unit is what is now coming, plus the, you know, that discoms have formed, the rules have come for a transmission costing. So now the industry has learned and adjusted. So when the industry power tariff, you know, in Bombay is almost like 11 rupees per unit, industrial tariffs are around 8 to 9. So the producer gets around 5.5 plus the distributing discoms take around 2 rupees, 250. And then there is some room for a corporate itself 50 to 1 rupee per unit, say, you know, negotiating power. It's all within this range only. We can't do a miracle. What government is getting, you know, at 3 rupees, 350 and all is for a different ways where the government is also giving viability gap funding. Like in Maharashtra, you know, there is a scheme has come where 7,000 megawatt solar. The government wants to give 1 rupee per, 1 crore per megawatt as a subsidy. So industry space is known now. There is a competition, but then good customer, since we have a existing customer base itself there who are needing power, so we don't see any problem for selling power.
Okay. And sir, my last question is, the result shows a growth in EBITDA and net profit. How sustainable are these improvements, and what should investors expect in H2?
As I said previously, yes, it is a seasonal industry, and that's why we are adding solar now, so that around the year the revenues are keep stable and growth. And definitely when you compare on quarter to quarter or H1, whatever, off yearly to off yearly or annual to annual, will be much better than last year's.
Okay, okay. Yeah, that's it from my side, sir. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Prashant Shah from eStock Mantra. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
I have a couple of questions. First one is, what are the top three execution priorities for the management team for the next 2 quarters?
Sorry, I didn't get. What are the top priorities for the management? management team. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, the priorities are now basically we have come to a level where we have already cleared the debts. Now we are looking at last 1 year have been looking at only improving the machine availability. And we have few more machines where there are some pending attendance, you know, and earmarking some capex things are pending. So we are going to look at that so that the internal improvement happens first. From the without investing a new capital cost for the creating assets. And now this priority has come for a solar project. We have taken the government approval. So government is going to start chasing us. When are we going to complete this 4 MW? So we have to complete that. And then, yes. And as few acquisition, few discussion for an expansion are on. So we are looking at them.
Okay. And what is your message to our long-term stakeholders who have waited many years for meaningful transformation and
sorry, your voice, we got a little not clear. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah. So what is your message to your long-term stakeholders who have waited many years for meaningful transformation and market re-rating?
Yes. Definitely, like as I answered a few questions before, you look at the book value of the company, we are definitely stable, it's continuously grown, and I cannot say myself, but then the market value, I don't know why, when I compare the 4 or 5 companies of similar space, they are all traded at much more than the book values. Yes, maybe we are looking at, you know, this performance. Probably we hope investors' confidence also will give them to realize whatever the best potential. And long-term message is, as I already said, the company is safe. We have a huge land bank. So the value of the hidden value of the company is much more than what we are seeing today in the market capitalization. So we have a space also to work on them for better. We have a strong balance sheet without any debts. So open for a growth. I think these are all long-term positives for the investors, I hope.
Thank you. That's it from my side.
Okay, that's it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1. As there are no questions in the queue, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Saki Panjiyala from Kiran Advisors Private Limited for closing comments. Saki, please go ahead.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Indovind Energy Limited. If you have any further queries, you can write to us at research@kiranadvisors.com. Once again, thank you everyone for joining the conference call. Have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiran Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.